大家好，我先用汉语，然后我要用英文。现在我特别高兴，我们在跟你们谈一谈，给你们介绍一下，让关于我们的工作在中国，所以但是我。一点不好意思，我的汉语是马马虎虎，所以我需要用英文，所以不好，所以对不起。So I will have to use English. My Chinese is not that good, so it's okay, but not that great. Will there be the translator here or in the back? Okay, that's. So I'm sorry, I have to use English because my Chinese is not that great, but it is very good to be here, and I am very grateful to be able to share with you a little bit of what our family is doing in China. And as was just shared, we are, as a family, are serving in Qinghai province in the city of Xining. And there's a picture of our family. We're kind of having a little bit of fun there. And so that's an older picture with my four sons. And anyway, so we live in the city of Xining. Next slide, please. So you can see the map of China. Most of you know probably most of the different provinces of China. And if you can see Qinghai province and where the star is, that is where Xining is. That's where we live. So next slide. And as a regional leader, this is my area. I go visit our teams, and I travel throughout Qinghai, Gansu, Ningxia, and Inner Mongolia. So I do a lot of travel. So next slide. And then next slide. Yeah. So I work with an organization called English Language Institute, ELIC, and they sent Christian English teachers to China. And we have teams in all over China, but in my area, the people that I work with are in these cities, Hohhot, Yinchuan, Guyuan, Lanzhou, and Xining. Each of those places I travel each semester. So, next week we return to China and I will quickly begin traveling to these cities. So, in those five cities we have eight teams and, on those teams we have about 47 people counting children, that are just in my area. We have other ELIC people throughout the country, but this is just in my area. And 30 people are full-time English teachers. Next slide, please. Yeah. And, you could just exit that part. One of the characteristics, if you know anything about China, about that whole region, is that it has many different people groups. And, many different kinds of, people, like the Mongols, Mengzu, and the Huizu, and, Zhangzu, and the Tu and Sawa, those are all people groups in my area. Many of those people have know very little about Jesus Christ. And so my heart's desire is to see that someday many of those people will come to know God. You can just go ahead and skip to the next slide. Yeah, next slide. Yeah. Just to give you an example, many of you know that God is doing great things in China. And He is, when I was beginning to work in China, you know, many Chinese people were coming to know God. And it was great. But among many of these people groups, like the Mengzu, you know, those people, very few became turned their lives over to Christ and follow Christ. And one of the fascinating things is to see that even in Hohhot, where not that many years ago, there was very few Christians. Today, there are at least five churches that I'm aware of in that city that are just Mongol churches, besides all the Chinese churches. So God is doing some great things. It's very, very exciting what God is doing in that land. So, but you can see in the, as many of you know, the city of Hohhot is a big city, about 2 million people, and has a lot of Mongols and some of the other people groups there too. So next slide. We live in the city of Xining. If you could go to the next slide there. And you may know that Qinghai province is a very large province in terms of territory, land. But in terms of people, it's actually very small. And you can see there's 5.4 million people in that province. And about a million of those people live in the city of Xining. And that's where we live. We thoroughly enjoy living in that city. So that's just kind of a brief introduction to what we are doing there. We are involved in teaching English. This year, my wife is the English teacher at Qinghai Dashui, at Qinghai University. And I am serving as the regional leader for ELIC. And as we are there, we are required to, we teach at the university many different kinds of English classes. Most of the time, it's oral English classes to help people with their English. We actually have a lot of freedom in the classroom to share about Jesus Christ. And we probably have more freedom to talk about Christianity in the classroom in China than you can here in America. It's very amazing that that's the case. So, for example, when it is the American holidays come around, Thanksgiving, we will talk about Thanksgiving, the traditions of the behind that holiday. We will share about, you know, eating turkey and other things like that, but we will also talk about that at the founding of America, that was where the Europeans wanted religious freedom. And we could talk about Christianity there. When it's Christmas time, we can talk about who Jesus Christ is. We could talk about the fact, we talk a little bit about Santa Claus, you know, because that's part of our culture in America. But we can also share in the classroom, who is Jesus Christ? Why is he so important? And we could go through talking about that he is the Son of God. He is not a myth. Oftentimes when students know that we are Christians, they're like, oh, how can that be? How can you believe in God? How can you be educated and believe in God? That doesn't make sense. How is that? And so many times our students and teachers, they're very surprised when they know that when we tell them that we are believers, that we are Christians. And we have many opportunities that we can share. And we can tell people about who Jesus Christ is. And we do have some limits, but that's what we do. And a lot of what I do is I talk to many of our teachers to help them and make sure they teach well, and also that when opportunities come, to share their faith, share the hope that we have as Christians that someday we will be able to stand before God. And so that's just kind of a little bit about what we do in China. But this morning, I wanted to really focus on this passage that we looked at a few minutes ago in Matthew chapter 28. And Matthew chapter 28, Jesus says that he has all authority. Everything belongs to him. Did you understand that? Everything belongs to him. He says, all authority is with me now. And he says to the disciples, you must now go and make other disciples. You know, and he said this to all disciples. When he's saying that, if you are a Christian, you too need to be sharing your faith with other people. Do you understand? As Christians, we are also Jesus' disciples. As Christians, it is our responsibility to share our faith with those people around us. Is that easy? How many people think it's easy to share your faith? I don't think it is. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it's kind of hard. Sometimes we get a little nervous. You know, what will they think if I tell them that I'm a Christian? What will they think if I tell them about Jesus Christ? You know, but Jesus says we must go make disciples. We must do that. And he does not say only certain people do that. He says everyone. You are all disciples. You are followers of Jesus Christ. Whether you live here in Richland, or you live in China, or you live in a different country, or a different city, it does not matter. Jesus says, if you are his disciples, we must be people who will share and talk about that. And he says, in verse 19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Now, think for a minute. You know, when Jesus was teaching, he said that there were two commands that were the most important. What's the number one most important command? Can anybody think of it? What is it? Perfect. Yes. You get an A. I'm a teacher. I could say that. So, great. Yeah. Jesus says, love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul. In other words, what Jesus was saying, with your whole body, everything about you, love God. You know, love God. Okay? And so he says that, and almost everybody would say, yeah, no problem, right? You know, yes, I love God. So when Jesus says here in the Great Commission, he says, teaching them to obey all that I've taught you. Jesus wants everybody to love God. Did you understand that? There's only one way that we could do that, and that's through Jesus Christ. We have, you know, that's part of the gospel message. There's the good, and the bad part is that we're all sinners, you know. We've all made mistakes. We've all done bad things. None of us, not even me, not you, are exempt from that. And only through Jesus Christ can we go and stand before God. And Jesus says we must teach others to obey his commands. And one of them is to love God. Now, what's the second command? Go for it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, did you notice when Jesus said that? You can find that passage in Luke, I think it's chapter 22. When Jesus said that, he said that, he connected those two. He said, love the Lord your God with all, everything about you. Okay, love God. You know, and the second one he says, love your neighbor. Now, does anybody remember, there are several times in the Gospels where Jesus is telling stories. And one of the times he was talking about this time, he told a story. It's real famous. What story did he tell? Do you remember? It's called the Good Samaritan, right? The Good Samaritan. And if you notice, the person that asked that, Jesus first asked the guy, he said, you know, what are the two things that you need to do to get into heaven? And the man said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, da 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 da. Okay? Then the second one he said, love your neighbor. And Jesus says, you answer correctly. Good job. Now do it. And the man said, well, who is my neighbor? You remember that story? And then Jesus ended up talking about the Good Samaritan. And see, the Good Samaritan is a fascinating story about how there's three people that, first there was one man that was walking down to another city, And if you remember the story, he was robbed and he was beaten and he was basically left for dead. And the first person to come by was a priest, you know, a religious leader. You would think that he would love his neighbor, but he did not. He kept on walking. And the second person was also a religious leader. You would think that of all people, that that is a way that they should be expressing their love for God by caring for this particular person. And then it was actually the third person, a Samaritan. And in those days, the Jews and the Samaritans did not like each other. They hated each other. They said bad things about each other. And in the story, this Samaritan took care of this person. He took care of it and spent money. He loved this neighbor. He was a stranger. And I want to challenge you, you know, as Christians, we need to be people who love our neighbors. Did you notice that every time that Jesus talked about loving God, then he said, love your neighbor, he had to explain that. You know, usually when people say, oh, I love God, that's easy, okay? Or they say it's easy. But you know what Jesus was really saying is that your love for God and your love for other people around you are connected. They're connected. If you have a problem loving your neighbor, I can almost guarantee you that your love for God is not very good either. Do you understand? And this is very, very important as Christians. We need to be people who really love God. And one of the ways that we love God is by loving our neighbors. Now, if you are like me, loving people that are around you, my neighbors, or, you know, sometimes my coworkers, sometimes it's my students, sometimes they are hard to love. Maybe you haven't experienced that, right? No? Now all the people around you are easy to love, right? You know, they're nice to you, and they do nice things to you, and so they're easy to love, right? But probably it's the case where loving those that are around us, our neighbors, that's the hardest thing to do. You know, as a matter of fact, Jesus says that we are to even love our enemies. How do you do that? How do you love your enemies? As a matter of fact, Jesus says in John chapter 13, he says that we must love each other, one disciple to another. You know, as one Christian to another, we must love each other so much that when other people around us see it, they go, ah, I know that they are Christians. They don't have to say a thing. Does that make sense? Usually, when people start wanting to know more about who Jesus is, it's not because of our theological statement. Do you understand? You know what a theological statement is? I believe in God. I believe, you know, this is about Jesus. I believe this. You know, theological statements are very good. You know, please don't get me wrong on that. We need that. You know, it helps us to stay on what Scripture says. But Jesus said that if we love one another so much that other people will know that we are his disciples. So it's not the theological statement that counts in terms of our sharing of our faith. It is how we love one another. So I want to ask you, how are you loving your neighbor? And this is hard. This is not hard. This is not exactly easy. Especially when somebody yells at you, or maybe you are working in at work, and somebody says, oh, you did a terrible thing. Or you made a big mistake. Ah, da, 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 right? Maybe they're peeping me, right? You know, give me a little. And it's hard to love people when they do that, right? I mean, I don't like that. But Jesus says that our love for one another must be huge, must be big. And this is hard. So I want to challenge you this morning that as disciple makers, we need to be people who love one another. Excuse me. Love one another. We need to be people who are wanting to share our faith with other people because you love them. Because we know as Christians that the only way that we can stand before God is through Jesus Christ. All of us should know that if we do not know Jesus Christ, we cannot stand before God. And according to what the Bible says, everybody is going to stand before God, and you are going to be judged. And when we stand before God, He's going to look at us and He's going to say, you know what? You know, if He does not see Jesus in my heart, those people that don't know Jesus go to hell. And that's a sad truth. You know, because we love the people around us, we don't want that to happen. We do not want to see our friends around us to have that happen to them. You know, all of us deserve to die. All of us deserve to go to hell. But God in His mercy, in His love, has loved us so much that He has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. This is Jesus Christ. He first loved us. Therefore, as we love God, we need to be loving other people around us. This is what God wants of us. So remember, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And love your neighbor. And you know, when Jesus was telling His stories, He had to define what it meant to love our neighbor. And you know, and sometimes that means we need to be loving people that are hard to love. Sometimes that's just hard to do. But God has given us His Holy Spirit to help us. And when we encounter people that are hard to love, that's when we need to ask God, God, please help me to love this person. Maybe you have a relative or a friend or a coworker, and they will say something to you and you just get very mad. And you would like to get even with them or get angry with them. Jesus wants us to love them, and that's hard. But God, through His Holy Spirit, is willing to help us, and He offers to do that. See, part of the reason why I wanted to share this is because we are praying that God would do some amazing things in our city of Sheening. And we are praying that God would change society in Sheening so much that people love each other. They care for each other. That whether they are in, you know, leadership in the government, or whether they are in education where we work with many of the teachers, you know, we want people to live out their lives in a loving way. I mean, for example, we want our colleague teachers, you know, the teachers at the university, to love their students. You know, for many of our teacher friends, they just think teaching is just a job, right? They really don't really care about their students. Now, there are some that do. There are some that do. But for many of them, it's just a job. They could care less about their students. But as, you know, my hope and prayer is that maybe some of them will become believers, become Christians, and that they would want to express their love for God to their students. You know, I'm hoping that they would want to share their faith and their lives and help their students. Maybe a student is having trouble with their English or maybe another subject, and the teacher is willing to help them. You know, that's my hope. My hope is that in the medical field, we have friends that work in the medical field, and you know, that they would care for their patients. that the doctors and the nurses would, you know, I've been to a number of hospitals and clinics in China. And there are some good doctors, and some of them care, but I've seen a lot of times where they do not care. And people would come in, they say, oh, I have, you know, this problem, you know. And the doctor says, oh, take this medicine, get out of here, go, leave, right? It's not very caring, not very loving. And, you know, we want to see God change people's lives so that they care for other people, that they love other people. And we believe that God is starting to do some of that stuff in China. You know, I've just been amazed to see how God is working in China. You know, in many of our cities that we are working in, we are seeing many people come to know Jesus Christ. And it's exciting. And when they come to know Jesus Christ, you know, once they understand who He is and how they are supposed to live out their faith, you know, God, you know, is able to use them for amazing things. I remember, I'm going to come back to Xi Ning in a moment, but in one city that I work in, there was a student that was a Mongol student. And when he became a Christian, he thought, yeah, this is no problem. You know, I know what the Bible says is true. No problem. But as soon as he went back to his home, all of a sudden he realized, do I stay a Christian or do I follow my family's Buddhist traditions? Do I do the incense? Do I do this and that for my family? And the student said that was so hard because many of his family said, what are you doing? Why aren't you doing the traditions of our family? And for many times, he had a really struggle. He said, do I do it or not do it? What does it mean to be a Christian and a Mongol? You know, how do you be Mengzu, you know, the Mongolian people, and a Christian? He was struggling with that. And one of the neat things is that as he was interacting with other Christians, it was their love that helped him. And it was amazing to watch how when people were expressing their love for him, even though he was struggling, and how do you be a Christian and a Mongol at the same time? He was having a hard time. And it was amazing to watch how God has worked in his heart, and now he is a very strong follower of Jesus Christ because people were loving him. And I say that because, as I said earlier, our love for God and loving our neighbors are connected. And we must be people who obey the commands that Jesus has said. And those are commands that we are to do, loving God and loving our neighbor. You know, and in Xi Ning, where we live, we have we had a fascinating thing happen a few months ago. We have some friends that are medical doctors that work in one of the hospitals in Xi Ning. And he is there to help the hospital to be a good hospital. He is a surgeon from another country. He has been working there for a long time. And he has been trying to help them to upgrade the quality or the way that they help the Chinese people that come into the hospital. And one day, there was a couple, Huizu. They were a Huizu couple, a husband and a wife. And the wife was pregnant with a baby boy. And she had the baby. And when the baby was born, the organs inside the stomach area was outside the body. Okay? Very serious condition. And the father of this child thought, no, I don't want this child. I'm going to take this child home and allow, and basically his meaning was, take the baby home and let the baby die. So my friend got very, very angry. He said, That is not right. You know, you cannot do that. This child, I'm a surgeon. I can fix this child. Don't take the child home. And the father said, you know, no, I don't want the child. It's not perfect. You know, I only want a perfect child. And I'm just going to take him home. Again, his meaning was to let the baby die. And my friend goes, no, don't do that. That's not good. Don't do that. And he tried to persuade him, you know, not to do that. And, you know, he had to look at some other patients, and so he went and talked to them, and he came back, and he talked with the father again. And the father said, no, I don't have the money. But money really wasn't the issue. You know, my friend has seen enough poor people with very little money who are desperate and willing to do anything. And this man was not desperate. He was not interested in money. He was just saying that as an excuse. He just said, no, I'm going to take this child home. And basically, like I said, to let him die. And so, a number of people in the city of Shechem start praying. They just start praying, God, please save this baby. We ask God, please protect this little one. We need your help, God. God, intervene here so that your love could be expressed. And they prayed and prayed. And some of the people talked to some local Chinese Christians in the community. And they heard about this baby. Two Chinese families. And these two families said, we will take this child. You know, and to me, I know that for most Chinese families, that is huge. That's very big love. This is, they're willing to take a child that has a very serious medical condition. And these two families, they had not decided on which family would take the child. But both families said, either one of us, we will take this child. We want to, they didn't say this out loud, but they said, we want to share God's love. We will take this child. So they went to the hospital, both of the fathers of these families. And they went to this hospital, and they went to the father and said, listen, we would be willing to take your child, even though there is a medical problem here. We will adopt your child. He will be ours. And the father said, No. I'm Muslim. You know, the Huizu, you know, they're Muslim. Says, I cannot give him to anybody, you know. I'm going to take him home. And they said, oh, please, don't do that. You know, and they talked and talked, and finally the two families said, you know what? You can keep the child. We will even pay the cost of the surgery. Please, don't do this. You know, let us help you. And that father was shamed. He was shamed into, finally, at midnight that night, you know, the father agreed and said, okay, I'll let you do the surgery. And my friend quickly gathered his surgical staff, went into the operating room and started surgery. But he started thinking, he said, oh no, God, I need your help. Because my friend put a lot of pressure on this father. If there was any complications with this surgery, my friend would be in big, big trouble. And the father, even though he was not a very kind person, would go after my friend. And would probably go after the hospital. And the hospital would probably fire my friend. So he goes, Lord, as he went into the operating room, please help me with the surgery. And sometimes, in a case like this, the organs do not always fit inside the stomach area. So it requires two surgeries. But this father was not going to allow a second surgery. And so he prayed, Father, it can only be this surgery. Please, please. And so he went and did the surgery, and it wasn't quite fitting in, you know, all the internal organs, because sometimes the stomach shrinks a little bit. And so he prayed, God, it has to all fit in. All these organs need to fit in normally. And he said, I can only cut a little bit more on this little child without hurting this child. And so he did the one little cut, and all of a sudden all the organs, you know, went whoop right inside his stomach. And he said, he just thought, this is great. God did a miracle there because it all went in. And he sewed up the child, and as I understand, the child is now back home with his mother and is a very healthy little boy. You know, but the amazing thing is, when the doctor, my friend, was putting pressure on the family to allow for the surgery, the nurses and doctors says, "Ah, it's not our problem. Let him take his son home." That the nurses and the doctors thought, "It's not our problem. You know, what can we do about it? You know, we cannot force him to do this operation." And when these two Chinese Christian families came and said, "We will take this child," all these people started talking. Da, 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 da. Who are these families? Where are they coming from? You know, to adopt a child that has a medical problem like that? Or even to pay for it when it's not even their child? Who's doing that? So, you know, they have a hospital newspaper at that time. And they wrote up a big article in their hospital newspaper talking about these two families that were willing to come and adopt this child. It just blew everybody's minds. Wow! How can this be? And then later, as I understand, that newspaper article eventually got into the Xining newspaper. Again, wow! These Chinese families being willing to take this little child and a child they've never met. And so this was big news. And I remember my friend said that as he was, after the surgery was done, the next day, his leader called him in. And he thought that he was going to get a little peeping, a little bit of a chewing out. You know, da, 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 da. You should not do that. That's what he thought was going to happen. But his leader said, "How can you believe in God?" See, throughout the whole time, he never said anything about God. And yet, here is this highly educated doctor, the Chinese doctor, his leader. He's pointing to my friend and says, "How can you believe in God? You know, this doesn't make sense." And my friend was able to share with him why he believes in God. I mean, just amazing. God is doing amazing things in China. You know, God is, it just, you know, as long as every time I get to come back to America and share about what God is doing, it's so much fun to tell stories like this. Because God is moving and working in China. I would like to ask you to be praying for our family, to be praying for the city of Xining in Qinghai Province. Please pray for us. God wants to see His love expressed. He wants to see that people come to know Him. He wants to see people know Him so that someday when they stand before God, they will be able to go to heaven and stay with eternity with Him. That's what God wants. And I believe God is going to do some amazing things in China, even more so. I think the next time I come back, I'll probably have more stories. But I just want you to know that God is working in China. So please be praying for China. But I also want to encourage you to be expressing God's love for your neighbors around you. I can guarantee you, as you express your love for your neighbors, even the hard people to love, that your love for God will increase. Because in the natural, we cannot love people that are hard to love. You know, this is where we need to ask God, "I need your Holy Spirit to help me to love my neighbors, to love the people." And these are all part of obeying the commands that Jesus has us to do. Sometimes as Christians, we get away and we start thinking, "Well, I could just live life. I've asked Jesus into my heart. I could just do whatever I want now." Not true. God wants us to be obedient. God wants us to be expressing His love towards other people. And it's a choice. It's a choice that you must decide. And if you choose to love other people, God will use you in amazing ways. But pray and ask God for your help. Pray and ask that God will help our family to be people who will love other people. To love even difficult people, our colleagues or our friends in China. Sometimes it's not always easy to love people in China. But God wants us to do that. So you be praying for us about that. Pray for our family. Next week, on Wednesday, we fly from back to China. And we get back into a very busy schedule. And so you'd be praying for us at that point too. So anyways, why don't we close in prayer? Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much for the fact that you are a God that loves us. You say in your word, and it is true, that you loved us so much that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. We do not deserve to stand before you. We know, Father, that we deserve death. We deserve to go to hell. And yet you have offered the way to know you. You have loved us so much that you have given us another chance. You have given your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, for my brothers and sisters here, that you would help each one of us to love you with all our hearts, minds, soul, our whole being, Lord, who we are, that we would love you. And as an expression of that love to you, that we would love our neighbors. Lord, help us. It is not easy to love the people around us. So we ask, Father, for your Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us and to help us to find ways to love our friends and our family and maybe even our enemies, Lord. That is so hard, but we know that you want us to do that. Father, help us. We need you. And I pray, Father, for my brothers and sisters in Christ and in China. Lord, do the same there. Father, help my brothers and sisters of Christ in China to love you and to love their neighbors. Help us, Father, to be an example, so much so that when people see us and our love for each other, that they would just want it so bad to know who you are. Father, help us. Thank you, Father, so much for this body of believers here. I pray for my brothers and sisters, for your blessing. I thank you, Father, for your goodness, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.